Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I want to jump right into what I'm talking about. If you have your Bibles, want to turn to Genesis. I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about pursuing God's blessing or getting the blessing. We've been talking a lot the last couple of months about the promises of God. Well, I want you to know that if God has a promise for you that you've outlined in Scripture and that you've been standing on, then you need to understand that that promise should be a blessing to you. And so I'm just kind of changing the words up a little bit tonight in a sense. Instead of using get the promise, let's get the blessing. Let's get the blessing, because with the promise should be a blessing. Should be a blessing for your life. And so I want us to get to a place where we can live the kind of life that God can bless. Let me just stop for just a moment here. Not talking about notes. I'm continually visiting with staff and people that are hurting because they're seeing someone else not living the life that's going to get them the blessings of God. Let me explain that again. I'm talking to different people. I've talked to our staff. I'm visiting with other pastors. And I've seen people all the time hurting. I'm guessing people right here tonight too. Hurting. Michelle and I hurt at times because we want other people that we know to be blessed. And they're not getting it because they're missing something. And the sad part is, I don't know that we have enough wisdom to always know what it is, but God always does. See, God always knows what they're missing. And if we're not careful in and who we are, we can start becoming, in our own mind, God. Now hear me, I'm not saying that you think, oh, I'm God. But you start acting like you are because you start being the judge. We start being the judge of other people. We're like, I know why they're missing God's blessing. I know what they're doing right now. I know what songs they're listening to. I know what movies they're watching. I know what they're doing in their family. I know what they're doing with their kid. And we start, I'm not being God, but you're being a judge, and that is not ever your rightful standing. We are to be God's hands and feet on this earth, and in that process, we are to live in a way that should encourage others to receive the blessings. So here's the thing. I want tonight not you to be thinking about, I hope someone else heard this. I want tonight for us to hear what we need to hear to make possible changes so that we could get to the place where we have the blessing, and in us having the blessing, the promise, in us having that, others would see that in our life and they wouldn't look at us like we're just all of that and we're judging everybody, but we're in a place where we're loving people where they are, not being their judge, but setting an example and boasting in Christ and what He's done in our lives, not to put someone else down, but to advance Him. That's got to be our heart as Christian people. And so I want to be some things that I can be, not for any other reason, but that I could get to a place where if I can receive the blessing, then I can live a life of example that I could lead others there. God blesses those who pursue Him. What you see oftentimes in life is exactly what you're looking for. Let me say that again. What you see in life oftentimes is what you're looking for. You're going to find what you're looking for. I'm going to look for this. God is looking for someone to pursue him. And if you're looking for his blessings, then you're going to work on lining up your life and putting yourself in a place where you can receive them. But if you're always looking at someone else and what they're missing or what they're doing that's affecting my life, then what ends up happening is you miss what you could have had. If you're always looking at where someone else is failing, then you're never looking at where you're going. And I want to talk about Jacob tonight for a second. No, nobody in all of Scripture that you'll find desires God's blessing more than Jacob. Boy, Jacob wanted God's blessing. His whole life catered on pursuing God's blessing. His desire for God's blessing was so much that in Genesis chapter 7, he was willing to steal for it. I'll do whatever. I mean, he's going to think even wrong so that he can get what he thought was his. He had some mess ups here, and I'm not going to sit here and say that he wasn't. But his life ought to give us some direction. Abraham, considered the father of faith in Scripture, had a son. In Genesis, let's just do a little Bible run here. Abraham, the father of faith, had a son named Isaac. Isaac had two sons, twins, Esau and Jacob. Okay, y'all know these stories a little bit. I just kind of make sure we fill in the gap here. There was an inheritance that the Bible talked about that was to be given to Esau, because even though they were twins, Esau was the firstborn. Esau was to get 2/3 of the inheritance, let's just say it that way, and Jacob was to get 1/3. So of 3 parts of an inheritance, 2/3 went to Esau, 1/3 went to Jacob. So there's two things here that you have to see. First, that the birthright, that Esau was to get a double portion of inheritance. The second blessing is that Esau would be the spiritual leader of the family. And the blessing that God promised to Abraham and passed to Isaac would then go on to Esau. The blessing was Esau's for taking. The blessing was Esau's for taking. You need to look at the Old Testament and recognize that the blessing that God has for yours is yours for the taking. You need to know that. The blessing is yours for the taking. The blessing was Esau's for the taking. But Esau found himself not caring about the blessing. He didn't care about having a close relationship or having God right by his hand and in his life. Or he didn't care about living blessed. And so one day he comes in from a long day of hunting. And he is famished. And Jacob is making some stew. And I guess he was a real connoisseur of food. I'm just guessing, because this is something that Esau gets in and Esau's like, I want some of this. Jacob, in this process, sees an opportunity, because keep in mind, his whole life has been on getting the blessing of God. He wants the blessing. Esau wants some of the soup or the stew and says, I want some of that. Jacob says, ha, 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 ha. You're walking in more of a blessing than I'm walking in, just because you're getting it, because you're a few seconds older. Ben and Drew will probably relate a lot to this. I'm not going to get into. Esau wants some of what Jacob had. Jacob wants something that Esau has. And so they made an exchange. Now, we live in a society where everybody's happy when everybody gets what they think is right. Esau thought that the stew was worth his birthright. And he says, I'll give you my birthright, and Jacob, you give me the stew. Who in their right mind would do something like that? That makes absolutely no sense. As you think about that, it seems crazy. But really, if we'll think about it, we see it all the time. Who in their right mind would miss God's blessing and do what they're doing? Who would do that? People would rather have an illicit relationship than have the blessing of God in their life. Why would you ruin God's? But I see it all the time. Marriage is unfolding because somebody made a stupid decision. They didn't care about what was theirs. They didn't care about the blessing that was theirs. They cared about an immediate status. People try to make things happen on their own all the time rather than allow the Lord to bring the blessing and do it His way. People selling their birthright for popularity, for position, for prestige, selling what was theirs based on what Jesus did, and they're selling it out. I don't really care. And see, I never got this because I thought the only thing that Jesus did was die so that we could have heaven. But He died so you could have a lot of things right here and be an influence on this earth. And so we've got Christian people all over that are selling themselves out. We have young people in school and in college selling themselves out and losing the witness for the kingdom. And you're going, what were they thinking? They weren't. They weren't thinking long term. Genesis chapter 25, verse 31. That's the preface to the story. Genesis 25, verse 31. All right, Jacob replied, trade me your rights as the firstborn son. Look, I'm dying of starvation, said Esau. What good is my birthright to me now? Jacob said, first you must swear that your birthright is mine. So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Just the word lentil sounds really gross to me, but bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. Then it goes and says in the NLT, he showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn. In the English Standard Version, it says Esau despised or turned away from his birthright. He turned away from it. He doesn't see his birthright as something he can use today. He saw stew as something he could use today, but he didn't see his birthright as something he could. So he sees it as no, come on, immediate value. That's where we're at all the time. Our relationship with God, we don't see it immediately as valuable. So let's go to the party. We don't see our relationship with God as immediate, so we're going to listen to stuff that's trash and cloud our minds. We don't see, so we're going to have relationships with a bunch of people we need to should have never been having relationships with. We needed to be leading them to relationships in our world, not us going to, boy, there's just a lot here. But he forfeits two-thirds of the blessings for a bowl of stew. Not only did he forfeit his blessing, but much of what his own children would have. I'm always going to read this and go, are you kidding me? I mean, maybe for some crab legs, but stew? He didn't trade it for a lifetime of soup. I mean, I just think about how big this is. He didn't trade it for a gallon of soup. It was a bowl. And if you're familiar with the story, you know, Isaac thinks he's going to die. Isaac doesn't know this, but he's actually going to live another 80 years. He's blind, and so what Isaac wants to do is he wants to extend the blessing to Esau, and he knew it was Jacob's, but he wanted to send it to Esau, and so here's something to consider. Isaac knows that Jacob has the birthright. Isaac knows that now the blessing really belongs to Jacob. Isaac, who is the dad, knows there was a prophecy before the boys were even born that the older would serve the younger. I mean, you can read all of this, and you're just like, wow, wow, wow. Isaac, in this moment, isn't interested at all in following God's will. Isaac isn't interested in doing what he should be doing, but he's interested in what he wants to do, and he's going to cause tremendous heartache and brokenness in the family. Moms and dads, I want you to know, be really careful about pursuing your own will for your kids above God's will for your kids. Isaac's laying there, I know what I want to do, I want what I want to do, and he's going to, and you know, nobody knows better than God knows for where your kids need to be and what they need to be doing. But a lot of times we take that role, and Isaac says to Esau, why don't you go and prepare some tasty game? Go hunt and get me some food and bring it here, and I'm going to bless you. Well, the story goes on that Isaac's wife, Rebekah, hears it and says, that's not right. Mom knows it's not right and tells Jacob about it and says, hey, here's what I want you to do. Put on Esau's clothes so you'll smell like him. Then put some animal stuff on because Esau, just his name himself, means hairy. And so he puts on some animal skin with some hair on it, and he takes it in, and he goes in there, and he gets the blessing. Well, but he says, who's there? Who's my son? And what did Jacob say? Jacob goes, Esau. He lied to get the blessing. But he wanted the blessing so bad, he wasn't gonna pass it. Wait a minute here. You might say, well, it was his anyway. Yeah, but he wasn't trusting God to give it to him. And you got to get this whole story before we get into some of what I want to talk about. Genesis 27, verse 41 says, from that time on, Esau hated Jacob because their father had given Jacob the blessing. Esau began to scheme, I will soon be mourning my father's death, and then I'm going to kill my brother Jacob. Some bad blood in the family. Twins mad at each other. But Rebekah heard about Esau's plans, and so he sent for Jacob and told him, listen, Esau's coming. He's consoling himself, and the way he's consoling himself is he's planning your death. He's plotting to kill you. And so listen carefully, my son, in verse 43. Get ready and flee to my brother Laban in Haran. So Jacob gets ready to make a 450-mile journey. Are y'all still with me? 450-mile journey and to pursue and go where his uncle lives. He gets about 35 miles into his journey, and it's there that he has an encounter with God. My first key point that I want you to know, if you're going to pursue the blessing, if you're going to go get the blessing, is you've got to get to a place, even if it's 35 miles on a 450-mile journey, you're going to have to get to a place where you can hear from God. Where you can hear from God. You're going to have to get to a place where you can hear from God. You've got to get to a place where your relationship with God is what's speaking into your life. Genesis 28, verse 10. It says, meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. Jesus references this dream in John chapter 1 and says that Jesus says, I'm the ladder. I'm the one that makes the entrance for heaven. But anyway, that's just a little side note. Verse 13, at the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I'm the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. Who is the descendants that he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus here. The descendants would have Jesus in that lineage. What's more, I'm with you and I'll protect you wherever you go. One day I'll bring you back to this land and I'll not leave you until I finish giving you everything I promised you. I love that. I promised you some stuff and I'm not leaving you until you get it all. You got it. You see the parallels. Here's verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. Jacob says that he's in the presence of the Lord, and he didn't even know it. I'm in the presence of God, and I didn't even know it. I'm right here in God's presence. I can't tell you the amount of people I have seen in the presence of God that didn't even know they were in the presence of God. I've watched it for years. Man, you right there. God, it's possible to be in the house of God and still not even know that the presence of God was there. I've talked to people at church, and I just knew, man, the presence of God was in that service or at a conference we were at, and man, it was the most powerful thing I've ever seen. Whoa! And I've talked to someone else, they're like, I didn't really get anything out of it. I want to go, what? What? It's possible to not know that God is in this place. You need to know that. It's possible to know that God is wanting to bless you, but you not being on the road to get it. It's possible to not know that God is wanting to talk to you. Because I've talked to people and they just say, well, I don't even think God cares. And what I'm telling you is he does. So it's possible for his people to not know that God has a blessing in store for them. And my prayer is that we don't have anybody hearing the word of God here that doesn't have to go, I'm rejecting God because I know that he wants to. But really, I believe that there are people who believe that God doesn't care. And what I'm here to tell you today is, if you'll read scripture, he cares every time. It's that you just don't know that he cares. And so one of my things that I wanted to tell you tonight is a relationship with him. The more you read scripture, the more you sit in a prayer closet and not just talk the whole time, but listen, the more you spend time with the Lord, the more you start to realize that he does care. It's a relationship that will let you be in the pursuit and get the blessing. It's a relationship. How much time are you listening to God? It's important that you're with him and that you're in with him. I talked a lot about being wholehearted on Sunday. If you weren't here Sunday, I want to encourage you to listen to that. God wants to show you things. He wants to encourage you. He wants you to be in a place where you can hear. Jacob was finally in a place 35 miles out that he could hear from God. How much time are you listening to God? What are you listening to? What are you feeding into your ears or into your eyes? What is going into you? Jacob was finally in a place where he let the right thing. All he was feeding before is, I want the blessing. Well, what was the blessing? All of the inheritance, all the stuff. And we can get to a place where we want all of God's stuff, but we're not wanting him. How much time are you listening to God and listening to what he wants to do with you? Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Oh, I kind of want some of God, but I don't want him messing with this. I don't want him messing with this area of my life. No one says that, but their actions show that that's what they're thinking. And my prayer is that we can get something that'll kind of tweak our thoughts there and go, you know what? That's ridiculous that I'm thinking that way. I've got to make a change. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but church is important. Why? Because you can experience his presence. You can experience his move. You can learn to respond to what he's saying, or you can sit here and learn how to reject and not pay any attention. I've watched it with people I grew up with. They were in church every time the doors were open. And as soon as they got out of the house, church was not a part of their life. They had rejected but it wasn't that the word wasn't being fed, because the same people hearing the same word went out and did something different. When you seek God with your whole heart, in the NLT it says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, then you'll find me. God's not playing hide and seek. He's findable. The second key tonight to getting the blessing is you've got to get to a place where you have restoration with people. 20 years pass here in this story, and it's just a few chapters in Genesis, but 20 years pass, and there's no interaction between Jacob and Esau. These brothers haven't talked. They couldn't get on their cell phone and call each other. They're 450 miles apart, and Jacob is approaching 90 years old, and he makes the journey of 450 miles back. And it says in Genesis 32 that he comes into contact with a camp on his way back, and it's a camp of angels. Let's read this, Genesis 32, verse 1. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp. So he called the name of that place Mahanaim. God is reminding him, hey, listen, Jacob, I'm there, and I'm always going to be there for you. And I find that when he's in the move, he's headed to the next thing, that's where God showed up in a really powerful way. Times that God pulls the veil back and just says, let me just show you something in the supernatural. And I think that's really what happened here. You know, he's on his way, Jacob's on his way back, and he's trying to go back 20 years. He hasn't seen his brother. He's headed back to where they all live. And he's on his way back, and all of a sudden there's an angel camp. How many have seen an angel? Don't raise your hand. I'm just asking. Angel camps. Well, I don't know if I've ever seen an angel camp. Well, there are times that God just kind of pulls back the veil of the natural and shows you something in the supernatural. And I've talked to many of you and know that that's happened. All of a sudden, how did you know that? I don't know how I knew that, but I just knew. It's just pulling back a veil and showing you something in the supernatural that superseded what you could actually know. And I know that what happened here is Jacob's on his way back and this happened. Let's read about it. Jacob finds out that he's going to see Esau. Genesis chapter 32, verse 3. Then Jacob sent messengers ahead to his brother Esau, who's living in the region of Seir in the land of Edom. And he told them, give this message to my master Esau. It's very interesting that he says, give this message to my master Esau. Humble greetings from your servant Jacob. From your servant Jacob? Jacob's writing this. Until now, I've been living with Uncle Laban. And now I own cattle, donkeys, flocks of sheep, and goats, and many servants, both men and women. Because in one evening, I want to get through this whole story because of the points that I'm trying to make. I'm not able to go through and read every part of the Bible in this story. But if you get time to go back and read it, it's pretty cool. Because Jacob comes back and he says, I now own cattle, donkeys, flocks of sheep, goats, and many servants, men and women. And I think that you need to see that. And this isn't really a point for my message, but this is very important to see. Jacob had said to God that I'm going to give you a tenth of all that comes into my possession. Because when he left that land, he left with a staff in his hand and took off by him. He didn't have anything, but he said, I'm going to give you a tenth of everything. Why? What's so significant about that? Because a tenth of everything belongs to God. And we didn't leave that principle in the New Testament, the principle of the tithe, a tenth of it. And see, I just want you to see that worked then and it works now. Just a little extra tonight, but he just said, I left with all of this and now I've got all of this stuff. You go on to read, I've sent these messengers to inform my Lord, my brother, my Lord, of my coming, hoping that you'll be friendly to me. Do you think he's a little concerned of how he's going to be received? Obviously. Verse 6, after delivering the message, the messengers returned to Jacob and reported, we met your brother Esau and he's already on his way to meet you. By the way, he has an army of 400 men with him. Jacob was terrified, verse 7, Jacob was terrified at the news. He divided his household along with the flocks and herds and camels into two groups, and he thought if Esau meets one group and attacks it, perhaps the other groups can escape. He's thinking, I'm dead meat. What I've got is not good. There are people that I have wronged, and my brother is one of them. Let me stop on this second point for just a moment here and let you see that the reason why he was concerned is because he knew that he knew that he knew that he had wronged. And he was still pursuing God's blessing. The reason why it's important for you to know to get the blessing, and this story is a great example of it, there are people that each of us, if we start thinking, we can look back and realize we wronged them. And as that comes to our mind, it's not me trying to put something there. That's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, 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 you wronged somebody. He's coming back 20 years later, and he's going back to fix something. And the reason he's terrified is because he knew he deserved to be punished for what had happened. And so he's a little freaked out about what's happening here. I can see some of that. I can read into that and go, huh. Living with the attitude of not caring what you do to people or what people perceive by what you do can hurt people. Well, that's not what I meant. No, but they perceive something different than what. And I'm not trying to be on anybody's case. I'm just saying you always got to watch. And there are times that you don't need to care what someone thinks. And that's when you're pursuing the things of God. But when you're pursuing selfishness and just caring about, well, I don't care what they think because I'm going to do whatever I want to do, that's when people get hurt. And they don't intend to get hurt, but they got hurt. And you might go, well, I didn't mean to hurt them. But in your pursuit, you stepped on somebody. Whatever your pursuit was. And if God is laying someone or some situation on your heart, I want to encourage you tonight, take this story and realize, if I'm going to get the blessing, if I'm going to get what God has for me, there may be someone who I need to have some restoration with. And I don't know who that someone is, but I want to encourage you. It'll get you back on the road to the blessing. It'll get you back on the road to the blessing. And one sermon isn't going to change that. It took 20 years for this. And in 30 minutes, I'm not going to explain this whole principle. But I'm just telling you, I've got story after story in my own life that when I left things undone, there was years later that I had to call back and say, will you forgive me? And you wouldn't believe, well, let's read on. Genesis 32, verse 22. During the night, Jacob got up, took his two wives, his two servant wives, and his 11 sons, and he crossed the Jabbok River with them. And after taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. He just touched it and wrenched it out of his socket. Then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. I want you to know that man was the Lord that he was wrestling with. And you might say, well, wrestling with God? Yeah, a wrestling match. God's playing with him. Touches him and his hip's out of socket. Something supernatural going on that you may not totally be able to understand, and I don't, but God can do whatever he wants, and what he wanted was Jacob to be blessed. See, that was God's desire, and God wants you to be blessed. And so I don't want anyone to hear any condemnation from anything that I'm saying tonight. My heart has got to be as God's person, and your heart is God's person, is that people would be blessed. Well, the way they'll be blessed is for you to get to a place where you can get on a road to the blessing. And that sometimes means forgiveness or asking forgiveness. If you want to get something, don't think it's just going to automatically fall into your lap. There are things that bring about his blessing, and there are times you're going to have to wrestle. There are times you're going to have to push for the blessing. And God wants you to want to get what's yours. God wants you to want. And you might say, really? Yeah, come on, parents. How many times do you have a gift at Christmas or at a birthday that you have bought for your child and you're just waiting for them? I want them to open this so bad. Why? Because you know that they want it. And when they open it and say, well, I didn't want this. After the whooping, you sit down and talk to them and say, hey, listen, that's not the way you respond. God wants you to want what he wants you to have. That was good, and that's not in any of my notes. Jacob wants God's blessing, and I find it interesting in Genesis 32, verse 27, he said to him, what is your name? God's asking, what is your name, Jacob? He didn't say, Jacob, what's your name? He said to Jacob, what is your name? And if you remember earlier in life, he was asked that when his father said, what's your name? He lied and said Esau. And he had lived in exile. He lived 450 miles from where his blessing was. He had lived. Now, he still got some blessings there, but he didn't have the inheritance there. And so Genesis 27, 18, if you go back and look at that, he said, he went in to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn son. Right there is where that whole thing got messed up. So he's bringing something back to mind. Are you seeing this? God's using this and he's bringing this back to mind. And the last time you wanted a blessing, you lied about it to get it. The last time you wanted a blessing, you lied. God took him back to where he messed up. Boy, I like this. God took him back to where he messed up, and Jacob had to go back to his past and make some things right. God's wanting to teach us, and maybe your past was last week, and maybe it was 20 years ago, but God's wanting to teach us some things, and he wants us right with people so that we can be right with him. It's important. Once you're right with people, and if you live with the attitude, that's their problem. They need to make it right with me. You've missed this whole thing. God wants you right with people. It's important. It's important. Genesis 33, verse 8. And what were all the flocks and herds I met as I came? Esau asked. Jacob replied, they are a gift, my Lord, to ensure your friendship. My brother, I have plenty. Esau answered, keep what you have for yourself. But Jacob insisted, no, if I have found favor with you, please accept this gift from me. And what a relief to see your friendly smile. Read that again. What a relief to see your friendly smile. What a relief to see your friendly smile. It is like seeing the face of God. Man, this is a great point. It just gave me little goosebumps all over. Here's why. When you'll make something right that you messed up in your past, it'll put you in a position to see God. It'll put you in a position to receive the blessing of God. It'll put you in a position that you've not been in to get the blessing. We have a responsibility to make things right with people that we have wronged. Third and last point tonight, the key to God's blessing is to realize that his blessing is not just for you. This is big. What the most important thing became to Jacob as he matured in the Lord was what? It was getting to a place where he could bless others. He wanted the blessing originally, as a lot of Christians do when they're first saved. I just want the blessings of God because I am in need. I am in need. Oh, my brain, I just can't. I need this. I need this. But the more you mature in the Lord, you're looking for the blessing of God so that you can be a blessing. And I watched that. And I've watched it now. I'm old enough to watch that over time. And I've watched this just continually happen the more mature people get. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And you don't get that until you get the blessing. You don't, when I say get that, you don't understand that. It's hard to understand it's more blessed to give than to receive until you get to a place that you're blessed enough to give. See, I understand that, and I'm 15 years old. I'd love to say that you do, but you don't. You've not worked a job big enough to go give something away at the level that someone who's been working for 50 years have. Now, I'm not saying you can't give at 15 and start a giving lifestyle. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm talking about is there comes a maturity in your Christian walk where you can't wait to be the giver. You just can't. I can't wait to be the one that blesses. And I can't wait to, because it's such a blessing to be able to bless. Genesis 48, verse 8. Jacob looked over at the two boys, said, are these your sons? And he asked, and yes, Joseph told him, these are the sons God has given me here in Egypt. And Jacob said, bring them close to me so I can bless them. I love this. Later in life. Genesis 48, verse 15. Then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this very day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they preserve my name and the names of Abraham and Isaac, and may their descendants multiply greatly throughout the earth. Genesis 48, 20. So Jacob blessed the boys that day with this blessing. The people of Israel will use your names when they give a blessing. They'll say, may God make you as prosperous as Ephraim and Manasseh. In this way, Jacob put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Genesis 49, 28. These are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father said as he told his sons goodbye. He blessed each one with an appropriate message. I love that we can mature in the faith and get to a place where our blessings can be the blessings of others. We get to a place where we realize it's not just about me getting the blessing. It's going to affect everybody around me. And when we can get to that place, we live in a way that we continue to pursue it because we know in pursuing it, it's going to get a bunch of other people to pursue it. And then we start changing our culture. We start changing the next generation. Parents, I want to encourage you, work hard, be diligent, and pursue the blessing of God. Watch and guard what you're doing in your home. Watch and guard your entertainment. Watch and guard. Why? Because you need to get yourself in a place where you can get the blessing. We've got to have men and women, moms and dad, who prophetically speak over our kids. How's that happen? You're not going to prophetically speak over your kids until you are getting to a place where you can see prophetically. How do you get there? You get the blessing. How do I get the blessing? I make sure that I understand it's a relationship with God. Then I get to a place where I forgive and fix those areas that I have left unattended, that have been messed up. And I live a life not to get the blessing for myself, but get the blessing for the furthering of the kingdom so that everybody else will get what God has for them. See, you're blessed. I think that there are seasons of our kids' lives, and I can go back to when my kids were young. Remember when they graduated kindergarten? I remember sitting down with both of them when they did and said, God has a plan for you. Now, there are times that you can even write it out and just say all you want to say. And I'm not talking about a 20-page book. I'm just talking about something where we speak into our kids' lives that they are valuable in the kingdom and prophetically speak into them their future. At my kids' wedding, I talked to them before and after and right here in front of everybody. They just wanted me to say, after they say, who gives this man to be married to this woman? I was just supposed to say her mother and I, but I had something prophetic to say. Go figure. I'm going to have something to say into my kids' lives. Parents, speak into your kids' lives. Why? Because as you're speaking into their life, they are receiving from the closest thing that they have to God. And that's a mom and dad. And you're wanting God to speak into their life and you as a parent never have, it's a problem. That's why we are told to honor our mom and dad. And mom and dads, we need to live in a way that our kids can honor us. And we speak into their life. We don't yell into their life. We speak into their life. We love into their life. You are blessed to be a blessing. Bless your kids. Spiritually, are you investing in the next generation? What are you doing for young people? Oh, these kids of today. I agree. So what are you doing? You're not saying not one word to your own kids. We've got to, at certain seasons, be putting into our kids so that we can see them be empowered by our own parents so they can receive the empowerment of God. That's all I got tonight.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.